You are listening to the sixth installment of IEEE Talk Software Process, where experts interview experts. I'm Scott Roy Smith, your host here at the IEEE Computer Society Studios in gorgeous Southern California. If you've listened to previous episodes, you've heard me warn that this podcast is only for software professionals who need mission-critical, proven, and in-depth implementation of software quality, measurement, risk management, and Lean Six Sigma. If you are looking for casual listening, this is not it. The content of this podcast is peer-reviewed for accuracy, so you can count on results. Just add water and apply according to directions. So if you're ready, let's dig in. Today, our two experts are returning from previous episodes of this podcast series. Susan Cathy Land is an IEEE Computer Society author and president-elect for 2009. Cathy, welcome to the call.
Well, thanks, Scott. I'm glad to be here.
John W. Walls is also on the call and will be interviewing Cathy. They are both joining us by a conference call, and continuing with their practitioner support focus, they will discuss using IEEE standards to plan your software effort. John, welcome to the call, and please take it away.
Thank you, Scott. Cathy, welcome aboard. My first question on this topic is, why is it important to plan your software development effort?
Well, John, the software project plan is what's used to provide a common understanding among all those participating in a software development effort. The plan helps to define boundaries, nail down objectives, constrain resources, and define deadlines. The project plan should be used to help set goals, define targets, establish schedules, and provide budget estimates. All of the management information for any given software project should be documented in its associated software project plan. The type of information that should be included would be any information required to execute the software effort successfully. To venture off on a software development effort without a strong software project plan would be analogous to taking off on a hiking trip without knowing where you are going. Let's say if you can carry all your supplies or know you will be able to restock with no worries, but there are other risks, things you should plan for, like bad weather, illness, getting entirely lost along the way, which is what would happen to me. It makes no sense to attempt to develop a piece of software, just like it wouldn't be to take a hike without a plan. First, you need to map out where you're going or let someone know where you're going. This is a simple scenario, but the key point here, it's all about planning and communication. A strong plan from the start to finish is critical in assuring a project success. Managing stakeholders, the requirements, documentation, delivery, and expectations are crucial for a successful project. Identifying and following a plan, knowing the exact information that's to be used and delivered is crucial.
I agree with you. It's all about planning and communications. So who's going to be using this plan?
Well, the project plan is used by many people in the organization and should be the cornerstone planning document. The project manager uses it to communicate the project status to stakeholders and senior managers and to plan the team's activities. Team members use it to understand the context for the work they're doing. Senior managers use it to verify that the project's costs and schedule are reasonable and under control, and that the project is being done in an efficient and cost-effective manner. All stakeholders should refer to the software project plan to make sure that the project remains on track and that their needs are being addressed.
I agree the software project plan is important for all stakeholders. So what types of information should be included in this plan?
Well, as I previously mentioned, the project plan defines the work that will be done on the project and who will do it. And that's just stating it very simply, but a project plan should describe or refer to the statement of work, contain a list of all resources required to support the development effort, the supporting work breakdown structure should be included, a project schedule, which is an estimate of the work to be completed, all associated project risks and how these risks are going to be tracked and mitigated should also be described. And the life cycle of the software development process model for the project should also be included in the software development plan. This should include a description of the project organizational structure, including a definition of all project roles and stakeholders, as well as a description of the internal management structure of the project. A staffing plan should also be included. The plan should include a complete description of all technical methods, tools, and techniques to be used on the project.
So you don't defer the software life cycle later on for the developers to do. Um, So why is it important to identify the software lifecycle when planning your development effort?
Well, let me first describe for everyone what a software lifecycle is. A software lifecycle provides structure so that team members and project stakeholders all understand the current state of the project. The software lifecycle identifies all the major phases associated with a development effort. The lifecycle provides a high-level roadmap for software project planning. And there are various software lifecycle models managers or software developers could use or follow. And these range from the traditional waterfall to spiral models. And there's also a V model that's being used in the department by the Department of Defense. And I'll not discuss the variety of the models or their implementation details, but there are commonalities to each software lifecycle that I'll describe. And these should be familiar to software developers and project managers. There's the conceptual phase, where the need for the new system is identified and defined at a very high level. And then there's the requirements analysis phase, where the information needs of the end users are analyzed and defined. And then the design phase, where the design is specified. Then there's the development phase, where the software or system is developed. And then the test phase, where the software system's functionality is verified and validated. And it's important to remember that a software lifecycle represents a systematic problem-solving approach. And it's this approach that should result in a software product that meets or exceeds customer expectations, that is delivered within time and cost estimates. And these commonalities really represent one or more well-defined processes, and these can be found in IEEE Standard 12207, which outlines the activities and tasks of many of these processes.
I can see software project management is a lot more different than just planning a typical project. So what type of planning support is provided by IEEE Computer Society?
Well, the IEEE Computer Society provides a number of standards in support of software project planning, and these standards are popular because they've been developed using IEEE Standards Association consensus process by volunteer experts to succinctly define industry best practices. One of the standards for software project planning is IEEE Standard 1058, which is the standard for software project management plans. There's also IEEE EIA 12207.0, which is the IEEE standard for lifecycle processes. And this standard provides support for individuals looking for software project planning guidance as well. IEEE EIA 12207 provides a common framework for developing and managing software. And while 12207 is generally used to refer to a set of standards, it's important to understand that there are three standards that comprise the 12207 framework, and this is 12207.0, 12207.1, and 12207.2. IEEE 12207 differs from most other standards in the IEEE Computer Society Software and Systems Engineering Standards Collection, where this set of standards provides a common implementation framework. Other standards in the collection provide users with insight into recommended software engineering best practices. This combination of 12207 common frameworks, along with the supporting process guidance provided by the other standards in the collection, can act as a catalyst when used effectively in support of software process definition and deployment. So use 12207.0, look at the primary lifecycle processes, and then refer to 1058 and the recommendations found in this standard, as this standard provides detailed guidance regarding the format and content of software project plans. The Computer Society also provides other training material, podcasts like this one. There's websites where you can download documents like ready notes and conference material and publications. There's a standards best practices book series. There are tutorials. All of these provide additional implementation support.
Thank you, Kathy. These standards and materials should help, as I've seen many good-looking plans fail. So let me ask you about software project estimates. Do you consider these estimates important to the planning process?
Yeah, it's important to sit down and evaluate what it's going to take to get the effort completed. Even if it's early in the requirements process and you only have high-level requirements or a concept of operations, it's important to try to honestly estimate, scope, resource, and plan the effort at hand. I've often seen disconnects occur between business development and those individuals responsible for actually developing a given software product within the same company. I bring this up because I've seen this occur time and time again. contracts are awarded, the software developing organizations find that the reason they won the contract is because the timelines or resources for development were low bid. And the bottom line is that the developing organization has had little to say in the proposal process. It's important that all stakeholders participate in providing accurate estimates. The plans and their results will only be as valid as the accuracy with which they were based on.
Wow. Is it really possible to create accurate estimates at the contract stage before the software is designed?
Yeah, it's definitely possible to create a reasonably accurate estimate before designing the software. There's an urban myth that persists among many software developers that you have to design the software before you can provide a solid estimate to completion. And I don't know why this persists, except to say that we must do a better job in providing training and estimation techniques. The entire point of providing estimates is that the estimates are usually provided during the requirements phase. Estimates are sometimes required earlier and are based upon high-level requirements, but architecture and design consume large portions of the life cycle, and what value would estimation provide post-design? The goal of estimation is to provide how long an overall effort will take. This includes the design phase before performing it, so the scope can be reduced if the effort is too large.
Well, that sounds reasonable, but how do we estimate and plan when we know these requirements are going to change?
Well, John, you make your plan based upon today's assumptions and plan for the management of requirements changes. Every project should plan for changes to requirements. Requirements management should be one of the core organizational processes providing support to software organization. And IEEE provides some guidance in this area. IEEE Standard 12207, the Standard for Information Technology Software Lifecycle Processes, describes 17 processes spanning the entire lifecycle of a software product or service. Even if an organization's processes were defined using other sources, the standard is useful in characterizing the essential characteristics or qualities of these software processes and should be considered prior to the implementation of process improvement activities. Referencing this standard and reviewing what is required for each of these primary process areas can provide valuable additional guidance in support of the activities associated with requirements management analysis. IEEE Standard 830, the recommended practice for software requirement specifications, assures the development of a software requirement specification, but does not support the requirement of institutionalization of software requirements management. At a minimum, IEEE Standard 830 must be used in conjunction with the Standard for Software Project Management Plans, which is Standard 1058, and 12207.0 in support of this goal. Incorporating requirements management into project planning, organizational processes, and management helps to ensure that it is integrated into the lifecycle of the project. John, in order for IEEE Standard 830, the recommended practice for software requirement specifications, to be effective in support of the management of defined requirements information, it needs to be included in a software requirements management plan that will demonstrate that the resources, people, tools, funds, and time have been considered for the management of the requirements that are defined. The bottom line is making your plan, knowing it may change, but having a process to control and communicate the changes to the plan to all project stakeholders so that everyone knows how changes to any given requirement may affect the schedule, budget, or introduce some new risk.
Okay, so now we have a plan for changes. Another problem is, how do we define requirements when many times users don't know what they want themselves? Right?
Well, it's extreme. You know, this is a common complaint that you hear on software development teams, but it's extremely important for the software team to listen to their users, customers, and other key stakeholders. It's critical to successful requirement solicitation, and many times this is where the process breaks down. Unfortunately, when requirements are implemented incorrectly, it's very expensive and impacts more than the budget. Time and money are lost. But many times relationships have failed as well. Users want solutions to problems and look to software solutions. They look to software teams as solutions providers. And when they do not find the correct solutions have been provided, the users become disenfranchised. Not enough time is spent on requirement solicitation and review. Studies show that when software projects spend adequate time during this phase of the software development cycle, when project managers plan appropriately for requirement solicitation and review, and that this has had a significant positive impact on the overall success of the software development effort. Again, how well you plan determines how successful you'll be. Also, it's critical to keep key stakeholders engaged throughout the software development effort, beginning with the concept of operations, high-level requirements, detailed requirements. Letting users participate periodically as members of the design review team helps avoid mismatches on key requirements, particularly where user interface issues are concerned. Communication cannot be underutilized. Many times, users do know what they want. However, what they want may not be technically correct. Communication is the key. Listen and talk to your stakeholders. Provide them feedback. Work with them, and they can be your best resource.
Yeah, that sounds like some pretty good advice to working with the stakeholders. But it still sounds like a lot of effort. Why not just go ahead and code and give something to the customer and let him tell you what's wrong?
Well, that's a fairly frequent and common practice. And there are many pressures for today's software project manager. There are pressures to remain on schedule before the schedules even begin. There are also pressures to increase profitability. Managers look to ways to try and cut out what they may view as non-essential activities. And since requirements analysis, planning activities, and design don't directly produce code, they are easy targets for the schedule acts. On one project that I took over that was in crisis, I asked to see the requirements. And I asked when the review was scheduled, and I was told, we don't define requirements, we work to a design. And then I was told, well, what's a requirements review? And the results were predictable. The current project was in a constant state of requirements flux, and they were constantly missing their schedule dates. Projects that skimp on upstream activities typically have to do the same work downstream, anywhere from 10 to 100 times the cost of doing it earlier. If you can't find the time to do a job right in the first place, as the old saying goes, how will you find time to do it again later? And as a software project manager, it's much better to find the time the first time around for yourself, and it's much better for your programmers if you can find the time the first time around.
I've seen that 10 to 100 times in practice. It's disappointing to get those late changes or clarifications later in the project.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a minute about resource planning. In your words, why is this such an important part of the software project management process?
Well, the project plan should contain a list of all resources. I mentioned that earlier, the resources that will be used on the project. And this list should go beyond what's simply covered by the project schedule by including a description of each resource. I've seen a lot of schedules many times that just list dates, and you see a line that's drawn out, and they're not resource-loaded. Schedules should be resource-loaded. They should define any limits on a resource's availability. Today, most software project plans refer additionally to externally maintained software project schedule. It's not really in the project plan. It's something that's externally maintained. I should also note that resources are not limited to personnel, but should also include office space or critical equipment, anything vital to completing the software development effort. Most software project management software packages also provide a feature to maintain a resource list. If this is not available, the resource list can either be a spreadsheet, a word processor document, an Excel, anything, just one line per resource. Give the resource a name, a brief one-line description, the list of its availability and its cost, if this is applicable. Just some way to identify your resource and their availability. Resource planning is vitally important to software project management, and it's important to software project planning because your resources, or the lack of them, is going to affect whether or not you can accomplish the software development effort on time and within your budget. Careful planning and an understanding of how individuals are applied to specific tasks as they track through the software development lifecycle is critical to successful project completion. It's all too easy to overtask the software lead or the guy who's really skilled. As you're looking at your software, you're always thinking of that one individual who you can apply to a certain task. But the really forward-thinking project manager is going to resource load. Think of how all of the individuals or all the different resources are going to be applied to given tasks and apply that to their project schedule. If you accomplish that, this reality check can cause some significant adjustments among personnel and resource assignments.
Well, I agree. I once was assigned 200% over several projects. So where does risk management fit in with project management planning?
Well, we discussed software development planning defines the activities, intermediate products, schedule, and other aspects of the expected work. And if everything goes according to plan, the end result will be the system being developed. Incorporated in the plan, as I mentioned before, are the known risks and how you're going to mitigate those risks and track those risks. During development, you know, if we lived in a perfect world, everything would go just, you wouldn't have to worry about risk. But typically, during a software development effort, additional situations arise that present risk or muck up your perfect plan. And this is where the management of those risks come into play. And the risks are baseline during the initial planning, and then these risks are managed throughout the life cycle so that they don't totally derail the effort. And that's basically risk management and how it plays with software project planning.
So is risk management a process? And if so, could you describe it?
Okay. Let me describe, I sort of touched on risk management, but let me go into it more in detail. Then let me define risk management or what a risk is. And I like to just, I'm not going to go into any major detail, but risk is anything that would negatively or significantly impact the delivery or quality of the software effort. I think sometimes people try to overanalyze risk. You know, risk could be somebody taking 2 weeks off unexpectedly. You know, like you had them on the schedule for 2 weeks and now they're gone. That's a risk. You know, risk could be not having a backup for, you know, redundancy on your server. That's a risk. So you have to sort of really think about all of the different risks can come from anywhere. So getting your team to help you identify risk is very important. But risk management, the way I describe it, is the deliberate approach used by project managers for dealing with the inevitable negative or significant impacts that could occur on your project. And there are two fundamental activities that comprise risk management: the risk assessment, which is figuring out what the risks are and what to focus on, and then risk control, which is, do I need to do something about these risks? Do they just need to be watched and tracked? Risk assessment and risk control. And as with any software management technique, it's important to periodically check and see what's working and what's not. If your risk management process, I try not to do a one-size-fits-all. What's worked for me on one project may not work on another. So if you're working on a mission-critical effort, you know, your level of risk management is going to be a lot more stringent than on a project where the software is not safety-critical.
Yeah, this is important. I've been on projects where risks were hidden like time bombs, and those projects blew up their schedule and budget. So mm-hmm. Where can I get some more information on risk management, possibly from the Computer Society?
Well, the Computer Society, working with ISO and IEC, they've developed the 16085, which was published in 2006, and it's the Systems and Software Engineering Lifecycle Processes Risk Management Standard. And in addition to providing overall conformance guidance, it has four annexes that provide guidance in support of risk management. They provide guidance on a risk management plan, risk action request, risk treatment plan, and the application of risk management in the software lifecycle.
Okay. Now, ongoing with the project manager, what are some practical measures that might support this software project management?
Well, if the goal is to make the implementation of these programs more successful, then we must make metrics and measurement easier to understand. This is sort of a pet peeve of mine. You know, you can't have effective project management if you don't understand where you are, and you can't understand where you are without measures. Measures can't be an afterthought. They have to be fully integrated into the project lifecycle. When you're developing your plan, you have to identify your measures from the outset, but the measures must be intuitive and understood by all of the members on the project. Your reporting schedules for the measures must be defined. They just must be a part of your culture. So, program and project managers perform five basic functions. They estimate, plan, measure, track, and manage risk. Project managers are not measuring. They're not doing their job. Measurement reporting must not be viewed, again, as a separate activity, but must be thought of as part of a daily, weekly, or monthly project status routine. So metrics collected by Capers-Jones indicate that the cost and schedule impact of defects and requirements are the most expensive of all defects, followed by defects in top-level design, and finally by defects in code. When planning for the implementation of a goal-oriented metrics program, to me it would make sense to concentrate resources in these areas.
Okay. My experience, most software project planners have many battle scars. Do you have any suggestions that might help project managers learn from their mistakes and avoid repeating them?
Yeah, I see many mistakes that are made again and again. One of the things that I see that is that managers try to take the same techniques and apply. Well, they try to treat every project as the same project, and you can't. Every project is unique. You know, you have to be adaptable. You have to work with your teams. I always apply the software engineering fundamentals that I learned from the IEEE Computer Society and basic software process methodologies on projects that I work on. But I take these and I tailor them. I work with the project teams, try to get the most bang for my buck on each project that I work with, try to implement the most sound software engineering techniques I can, and then gain the most process improvement I can on each project, but not a process for process sake. One of the most common things that I see is that people tend not to learn from their mistakes, and learning from your mistakes is critical to future success. Many projects either don't document their lessons learned. Let's say you go through a project life cycle, go through a development cycle. Nobody wants to take a minute to learn, you know, what did we do right, what did we do wrong, in a non-critical, self-examining way, and share that and learn from that. And it's certainly never shared across the organization. Sharing solutions is critical to organizational growth. Additionally, the only way to be truly committed to continuous improvement is to have a common shared project management methodology. Common methodology should provide for project level structure and guidance. And I'm talking like across a company or across, let's say a division in a company, but allow for project level flexibility, allowing project managers to apply the organizational guidance to their specific development environments, but realizing that a one size does not fit all, but that one size should be the goal. There should be allowances for project-level tailoring. And I guess what I'm talking about is when I see process methodologies being rolled out, like CMMI or ISO 9001, there's this expectation that everybody should do things the same way, and that's just not appropriate. Software engineering has a certain set of fundamentals. Those should be taught, but there should be some flexibility so that people can really excel and be creative, because that's how you get the best out of software development teams. I think that individual project managers learn from their projects, but organizational learning and continuous improvement require a formal process for documentation, analysis, and incorporation of lessons learned into a common methodology. And that's really how I see people learning.
Well, thank you, Kathy, for these insights and Computer Society resources for software project planning and management.
Thank you, John. I enjoyed talking today.
Thank you, Susan Kathy Land and John W. Walls, for your advice on using IEEE standards to plan your software effort. You have mentioned some subjects that are covered in depth in books that I'd like to point out to our listeners. They are listed in our show notes on the website, but I'll mention them to start with right here. One is entitled Jumpstart CMMI Software Process Improvement Using IEEE Software Engineering Standards. Another book comes from the Practical Support series. It's called Practical Support for CMMI SW Software Project Documentation Using IEEE Software Engineering Standards. Both of these are available from the IEEE Computer Society website, computer.org, and from John Wiley. Well, that wraps it up for this installment. Thank you for listening to the IEEE Talk Software Process podcast. We would like to hear from you. Please email podcasts@computer.org to give us your comments and feedback, or visit us at computer.org/podcasts. Until next time, This is Scott Roy Smith saying, may your advancement be manifest.